So, Tansy.
Yeah, Charles.
Have you ever been in a situation where, like, you know, you've had a really close relationship with someone, you know, a friend, a partner, like whatever, like that, that's kind of gone sour, has ended much worse than it began, and like you get to the point where you're kind of over like the hurt or the anger, and you get to the point where like thinking about that person doesn't immediately fill you with like rage or make you want to cry. But then you hear like a song or you catch some of a film or a TV show that you used to share with that person and you're like, oh, wow, there's a thing I really like. But then you realize you can't not think about that fucking person who fucked you up. And now you're doubly mad because not only did they make you sad and angry and they broke your heart and ruined your life, but they also ruined your favorite fucking band for you. Have you ever felt that, Tansy?
Not with a person, with a multinational media corporation, yes. Not
welcome
naming
to pitch.
Names, but
let me break your heart, bitch.
Let me systemically underpay you, bitch. Let me pay you significantly less than your coordinator, bitch, because he's a man who's slightly older than you.
Anyway, welcome to Pitch Shift, which is a podcast where we turn songs into film ideas and also work through past trauma by turning it into weird, sad, quasi-sci-fi.
Sue me, Disney.
And when I say we, I mean mostly me that does that. It's mostly me.
I've done it from time to time.
Yeah. Yes, my name is Charles.
And my name is Tansy. And yeah. The way that this kind of works is that one of us will take a song and pitch a film based on it. And the other will listen, act as a producer, which was my job when I was systemically paid less than a man whose only difference from me in terms of qualifications and like work experience was that he worked 2 years less and was 4 years older than me and male. But, you know. Ha ha!
It's a funny joke.
It's a funny joke.
We laugh so we don't cry.
So we don't. Thousands of dollars worth of cry.
Oh, so many dollars of cry.
But hey, it's not like they own every brand that I like. It's not like I have to think about them
really
every
do.
Time I watch things that I enjoy.
Look.
Look.
We've all been in a relationship with a mouse that owns everything, and then we've gone to watch a movie and we're like, that fucking mouse that broke my heart, you know. God damn you, mouse.
Yeah.
God damn you.
Can I get sued for this? I hope not.
I don't think so.
Well, like, why would they? They know I have no money.
Yeah, like, I think this is like,
what are they gonna sue me for? Significantly less than they'd sue my male co-worker?
Yeah, let's yuck them up. No,
yeah.
Let's not, because this pitch doesn't have anything to do with
the House of Mouse
with Galt Gisney.
So this is a bit of a different episode for us. I don't think we've ever pitched a TikTok song before.
No.
Look at us. We're down with the youths, and we know the TikTok.
Yeah. So the song is "You Ruined the 1975" by Lizzie McAlpine.
You ruined the 1975. Now I'm listening and think about getting high in your bedroom windows open, mom is home, but we're still
which is a demo that she released on TikTok and then was like, I'm not actually ever going to finish the song. So the demo, the TikTok itself is like 30 seconds long, which makes it really good for getting in your head and never being able to get it the fuck out.
Yeah, because normally to get a song out of your head, you have to sing like the end of it in your head, and that closes
yeah.
the loop and you get out of it. But there's no end to this one.
No. But yeah, so what I've been working off is a remix by a SoundCloud lo-fi artist called Koi.
Yeah, it sounds
which is
like,
probably what you'll hear more of in this episode.
Yeah, it sounds like it would show up on the lo-fi beats to study / sleep to. What's the other half
yeah.
of that? Study / listen to.
So it's a song about Lizzie McAlpine. She's great. She has actual music too,
mm-hmm.
and you all should listen to it. Her 2020 album that just came out, Give Me a Minute, is really good. It's basically like if Folklore were A, actually an indie folk album, and B, actually good.
Ooh, that does sound like two things I'd like.
Yeah, and it's really great if you just want to have like a solid like acoustic guitar supported crying jag, just like lying in your bed in the dark and you're like it's great for that. It's really good for that. It's like cleansing.
I like to cry to the sad tracks from movie soundtracks.
Oh god, yeah, you do, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
sometimes you really are like a parody of yourself, just a little bit. Anyway, the snippet of the song is about her like anger at her ex who was a shitty guy, but mainly because now she can't listen to her favourite band, which is the 1975, who are former Pitch Shift Shifties.
Yes, listen to episode number 5, 6,
yeah, it'd be
very
6.
Early on.
The other reason why this little songlet has stuck to my brain is because the 1975's music has, like, in the past, they have been my favourite band.
They're good music.
They are. They're good music. But I also now associate some of their songs with someone who was very abusive to me.
Oh, shit.
And it's interesting because I have a tattoo referencing the same song that she references in her song. So the song Paris.
What a Shame, right?
No, Ugh is a different song.
What a Shame?
Yeah, What a Shame is a lyric from the song Paris, and then We Share Friends in Soho, which is in her song, is also from that same. This speaks to me a little bit on some levels. So yeah, no, this is another time that, like, Charles turns his own bullshit into pitch for this podcast.
Look, to quote Carrie Fisher, take your broken heart and turn it into art.
Yeah. So yeah, we can add this to the, like, the cinematic universe of Charles feels
things.
You got your Catch My Disease, you got your Slow Hands, you got your Trans Remus Loop and Pitch, you got your Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to add this one to it.
Do you want to just get straight into it? Or?
Yes. Fair warning to, I guess, to you, Tansy, but also to anyone listening to this. This is going to get a bit, like, sad. Exclamation point.
Okay. Sad.
Sad. Exclamation point. Because
that feels like something Janet from The Good Place would say. She'd be like, how are you, Janet? Sad. With two thumbs up.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Because there's some things that have happened this week that have made me sad, exclamation point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, and it's going to, you know, feature a little bit of discussion of, like, a toxic romantic relationship and, you know, some emotional manipulation and all the stuff that kind of goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Another heads up that this is a little bit rough. Mm-hmm. Put this together fairly quickly. Okay, so, casting. In the role of Rosie, we have Hari Neff.
What's Hari Neff been in?
Well, the thing that she's in that I watched last night was Assassination Nation.
Ah.
So I watched Assassination Nation last night and I really liked it, except for the part where it really shouldn't have been directed by a man. Mm. But, like, I had a fun, trashy time. So Hari Neff, yeah. And then in the role of Nicole Odessa-Young, who is an Australian, who was also in Assassination Nation.
Was she in The Daughter?
I believe so. Mm. And basically I really enjoyed their dynamic as two actors.
Yep.
And then so we have Colin, who's the ex-boyfriend, who I haven't cast. So who's our shitty white, straight white boy of the week? Like, who are we gonna pick this week? Because I don't want to double up too much. We've had a Taron Egerton. We've had a Timothy Chalamet.
What age range are we talking here?
Like mid-20s. They're all like mid-20s.
Oh, what about, I've been watching The Boys, which has Jack Quaid, who is Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son.
That's a vibe.
He spends the whole first season just looking confused, and we've just started the second season where he just spends the whole time looking suspicious. And I'm like, it's good that you've got a character who only does one face.
I make one choice.
But also, like, he can do dickhead cruel because he was a bad Hunger Games kid early on in his career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay, that works. And, like, you know, I would say I'm sorry to our listeners that several of my recent pitches have featured shitty straight white boys being shitty.
But straight white
boys stopped being so fucking shitty, I wouldn't have to. So I'm sorry. This is another uncomplicated villain in a straight white boy being shitty. Deal with it. The only other thing that I need to tell you is that a lot of this is going to rely on some, like, quote-unquote lore from Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five.
Okay, I have not read.
So there's a time travel mechanism in that book that is, like, these aliens that are called the Truffamadorians. And basically the way that the time travel works in that is that on Truffamador, they see time as, like, a kind of like a physical, like, spectrum. So they can see, they can see every moment of someone's life, past, present, future. So, like, you know, to quote the book, they can see where each star has been and where it's going, so that the heavens are filled with rarefied luminous spaghetti. And they don't see humans as two-legged creatures either. They see them as great millipedes with babies' legs at one end and old person's legs at the other.
That's horrifying.
One of the things about that is then that if you're like, oh, this person is dead, a Truffamadorian would say, well, they're dead they're in a bad condition in this particular moment, but like, what about all those other moments before that that we can see at the same time? So they like don't understand grief as a process, because it's like, but they were alive in all the other. There's just this one moment where they don't exist, and then in all the other moments they do exist.
There you go.
But yeah, so basically they see, like, physically see the passage of time in a person, and as such are fatalists. But I'm going to ignore that because I don't vibe fatalism. I think it's boring. Yeah. Oh yeah, the other thing is that in this pitch, the band is going to be the 1975 because of the song, and also my, you know, own knowledge of said band's music. Mm-hmm. If this were an actual film, there would be like a band made up specifically for it.
Okay.
So we start with Rosie and her therapist. She's having her regular weekly therapy session and kind of talking about, like, you know, yeah, things are going great. It's just that, like, I just think about it all the time, and it's been 2 years since we broke up, and I really should be like over it by now, right? Like, shouldn't I be over it? Like, clearly wanting a certain response. And the therapist is like, well, you know, like, these things happen at their own pace. It's very like exposition via
dialogue.
Specifically, yeah, and specifically talking about the thing that you need exposited. You know, you were in a very toxic environment for 5 years and that informed your worldview. You were 19 years old when you started dating this guy. You know, it's still like, that's a formative time to start dating someone. That's going to inform your whole worldview, and you have to unlearn that. So like, it's okay that you're not okay yet. And she's like, yeah, but like, you know, I think I'm starting to really annoy my friends. You know, I think they just want me to be able to get over it. And we cut to a scene with said friends. So it's like Rosie and her group of friends, of which Nicole is one. Nicole's the only one that we really care about because she's the only one who's properly on Team Rosie. Mm-hmm. And they're at a party, just like chilling. And then a song comes on, and it's The Sound for the 1975. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all her friends are like, yay, cool, we love this song, blah, blah, blah. And she gets really just immediately, like, so, so sad. Mm-hmm. And she has to, like, go outside, and her friends are like, oh, God, here she goes again, blah, blah, blah.
Nicole's look at her being traumatized and having emotions.
It's like a fun song, Rosie. Yeah, Nicole's the only one who's kind of taking it seriously. And, you know, one of her friends is kind of going like, oh, just because you always used to listen to this band with... And Nicole's like, no, we don't say the C word here. And one of the friends is like, what, cunt? She's like, no, Colin, we don't say the C word. We don't say the C word in this house. Nope. And like, we learn in this scene, I think, you know, like one of them's like, you know, he's actually like not that bad. It's like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, we're dumping everyone right in the middle of Rosie having a renewed kind of re-traumatizing moment. One of the friends is like, yeah, like we catch up still sometimes. And it's like, excuse me?
No.
You can't, what? And it's like, we were friends, like, before you guys started dating. Like, you know, like Rosie at this moment very much is like, Batman's up and fucks out of there. She's like, no, I'm not having this conversation. No, 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 no. Nicole's like, how would you feel if you found out that, like, I was, like, regularly getting coffee with fucking, you know, Chad or whatever? And she's like, no, I wouldn't care. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, okay. But that's because, like, Chad didn't, you know, treat you like shit for 5 years and make you feel like you were crazy. Like, imagine if Chad had made you feel like you were crazy. And it's, like, clearly the argument's not working. So, like, they go home, Nicole and Rosie. And I get I think maybe they live together. They, like, have a little apartment together.
Cute little share house.
Yeah, and it's very, like, you know, Rosie keeps kind of being like, no, I don't want you to not have fun things because, like, I'm really sad. Because, like, there's a thing that Colin used to do and we could, like, never have fun if he was, like, not having fun because it had to be about him and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to be like that. And she's like, it's fine, you're not. Just, like the only thing that you're doing that's annoying me right now is apologizing. So just it's okay, you're allowed to be sad, I understand, I'm your friend, let's go home. And she's like, no, but I don't want to be like toxic to you, and like, you know, that kind of thing where, like,
yeah,
it's like, babe, you're just like, you're spiraling, just like And then I want to say the next scene is like, we think it's like a dream sequence, and Rosie's like in a long hallway, a long kind of dark hallway thing, and walks through like a door to see, like,
would the door perhaps be a box?
A box. Yeah, it could be a box.
Yeah, you know, like the box from the 1975 artwork.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, it could be. That works. Yeah. I was like, what kind of box?
I have references.
Yes, the box. It's like, yeah, this is our band symbolism. It's a rectangle. So, oh, really? Yeah, our name is a year and our symbol is a rectangle.
Sounds fake, but okay.
Yeah, and so she kind of walks into this box. She sees, like, the two of them just, like, kissing or whatever. It's, like, a very The Good Old Days kind of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And the song Somebody Else by the 1975 is playing. And in the dream, this makes her extremely mad because this is the thing that's been, you know, kind of fucking her up. So she turns around to kind of, like, try to get out of the dream, basically. And when she turns around, she sees these two creatures that are, like, little green, basically, like, hands with eyes on them. Kind of like, you know how what's that fucking Guillermo del Toro movie with the hand eyes?
Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, kind of like that, but they're green and they don't actually really look anything like that. And it's just a hand. Okay. Because that is, as Vonnegut describes it, what a Tralfamadorian looks like. Right. And she's like, oh, what the fuck? And so she looks at herself and realizes that she looks, as we were talking about before, like a long millipede, and that every movement she makes, she's like the front of an endlessly stretching back into the past millipede, and every movement she makes kind of ripples back behind her. And so she that's kind of the moment of like, oh God, it's a nightmare. And she wakes up and she gets up for the day, blah, 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 and sees that certain C word has messaged her.
Fuck off, Colin.
Yeah, fuck off, Colin. That was literally, it was the first name that I could think of that started with C, because I wanted that C word joke. Yeah, so good old C word has messaged her and like...
Oh, no, can I guess what he's doing?
What?
Is he doing one of those like, hey, I've been reading a lot and I've been thinking back and like, I have realized that what I did was really toxic, and for my own absolution, I want to talk to you and have you re-traumatize yourself, essentially, so that I can give myself a pat on the back for, like, you know, the clearing the water and acknowledging I was the bad guy.
You know what, Tansy? That's exactly what he's doing.
Oh, boy. And by that I mean, oh, man. Boy.
Yeah, that, like, the SpongeBob meme where it's, like, takes deep breath and then, boy. Yeah, no, it's exactly that kind of thing.
It's cool that that's common enough that I could identify that despite having never really had to personally deal with that.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, because it's not just, you know, it's not just the boys who do it. Sometimes other people do it to you as well. And it's like, I really, like, I feel like if you actually had my best interests at heart, you would be like, I'm going to leave this person alone. But they never have your best interests at heart. They have their own interests. And it's like, oh, I want to apologize to that person and make it better for me so I don't have to feel guilty. And it's like,
isn't it great how we're all the protagonists in our own narrative?
Yeah. And then you always wind up comforting that person. Like, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry for the way I treated you. And then they start crying and you're like, oh no, it's okay. It's okay. You only ruined my life a little bit.
Anyway,
so she then is all she's relating all of this back to her therapist. You know, she mentions the dream, but she's like, and then I got this message and I don't know what to do. Should I catch up with him? Should I not? Because I don't really want to see him. But like, what if he does actually want to
do the work,
like apologize, and like doing that thing where she's like, and what if, you know, me saying no means that he doesn't like become a better person? Like,
let me put this all on me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, so the therapist is kind of like, well, I mean, it could be good closure for you, maybe, to, like, speak to Colin. And she's like, please do not say the C word in my presence. please don't swear on my profile, thanks. Therapist is dumb, by the way.
Yes, we hate therapists now. No cookie.
Maybe hasn't had a refresh.
Yeah.
In the education about things in a little while.
So, like, older therapist.
Yeah, the therapist is kind of saying, well, maybe it would mean that you could move on with your life in a place where you don't hate this person.
Mm.
And that gives her pause. She's not sold fully on that idea. So it's like, I don't know if I need to not hate. I thought I was just never going to see him again. So she's kind of like the combination of like having this weird dream with the hand eye aliens, and also this very like pristine kind of flashback to a moment in their relationship, and the fact that he's been contacting her, and the fact that she's got a friend who apparently has been friends with this guy the whole time.
Yikes.
She's kind of, you know, flipping out a little bit. And so this is kind of a
we
little
can
bit of a yada yada.
Yeah.
Yeah. But eventually gets to a point, so she and Nicole are like, you know, hanging out later that day, and she's getting increasingly worked up, and Nicole is like, well, like, what do you want to happen? And she's like, I don't know. Like, I, you know, I don't know if I want him to apologize. I don't know if I want to tell him to go fuck himself. Like, I don't, I just wish I could, like, I don't know, just like the one thing that I really, that I know that I want is I want to go back and just like change the music that was playing, so he won't have made me hate my favorite fucking band. And then boom, everything, like we kind of cut to black. There's like a movie explosion noise. There's a wham. Hans Zimmer has an orgasm, etc., etc. And suddenly it's like they're back in Rosie's dream.
Yeah.
Only Nicole can see it too now. So it's like, oh God, I'm a millipede. You know that feel?
Horrifying boy.
Submitting yourself to being known as a millipede.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and they're in that like that kind of like corridor thing that is starting to like, you know, the kind of the light kind of comes back up on where they are, and they kind of realize that it looks more like a train.
Okay.
They're on the train. The time train.
Oh, time train.
Yes. And
time heist, this time train.
Yeah, train heist. Oh my God, what about a train heist? Save that for
I regret to
an
tell
inevitable
you
future episode.
Solo has already done it and it sucked.
Wait, there's a train heist in Solo?
Oh, there's a train heist in Solo.
There's a train in Solo? I didn't know that they had trains in a Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like it's on both sides, like a DNA.
Oh, interesting.
It's not a good film.
It's a double
scene,
it's a double train.
Two train. Two two.
Train two. Electric
Boogaloo.
Train.
Boogachoo.
Booga choo choo. Electric choo choo.
Yep.
Fuck.
So they're on a train.
So at this point we kind of properly meet our little alien friends, the Tralfamadorians. Basically it's established that there is a train conductor on this train who is a human but has kind of been like pulled into operating this. So basically the Tralfamadorians kind of explain like we worked out that the only way that you guys can really kind of fully understand the way that we see time is by seeing it almost like stops on a circuit of a train line.
Okay.
The voices of the Tralfamadorians, by the way, are Justin Vivian Bond, who uh-huh. is a cool trans singer, and Anoni, who is also a cool trans singer.
Cool.
Because I just liked the idea of those two singers kind of, like, in my head, it's predominantly kind of, not like it, like, speak singing that they communicate in. It's okay. A very, like, rhythmic kind of,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so you kind of get the, like, exposition moment, like, Rosie's like, oh my God, like, it's my dream, like, my dream is real, and Nicole is like, I have stepped off the edge of, I don't know what the hell, like, obviously this isn't a hallucination since we're both seeing it, but mm-hmm. this also can't possibly be real, and these aliens basically, like, explain, like, this is the way that we've been able to most accurately visualize kind of how we see time, is that it's like a train line that just kind of
yep.
loops back around, and that you can see each of, like, you can be at any one of these quote-unquote stations at any moment.
Uh-huh.
And we established that the train conductor, who, again, is human, is, and this is me just fully deciding that I've written Slaughterhouse-Five fan fiction,
uh-huh.
the train conductor is Billy Pilgrim, who is the
okay.
main character of Slaughterhouse-Five.
Uh-huh.
Who kind of comes unstuck in time and lives his life out of order. He's played by Christopher Plummer.
Yes. The ultimate replacement for Batman.
Yeah, yeah, you have the replacement for Batman in the movie about Batman. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, Batman. But also just, like, I wanted it to be someone who was, like, very old and, like, a seasoned kind of
yeah.
actor of the performing arts. What the fuck? Uh-huh. It's so, like, yeah, I don't know. My brain doesn't know how to talk. Yeah, so basically that's all set up. And it's like, so why is this happening to us now? And it's like, well, you said, you made a very specific request to the universe that you wanted to change this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we don't usually let people, like, you know, like, we're famously fatalists, and we don't really believe in, like, the idea that you can, but, like, a specific request like that, it's like, well, you know, we have the ability to do this, but keep in mind, they're seeing all of this in a very poetic way
that's
you know, probably getting kind of translated into layman's words by Billy,
mm-hmm.
He's like, basically, you know, you're allowed to change one thing. You're allowed to change this thing because they're nice like that. This one time, you know, they kidnapped me and they took me to live in a zoo. And they're like, that's awful. He's like, no, it was great. I had a good time
in that zoo.
Hung out naked in a beautiful, like, utopian kind of bell jar sort of thing. And they gave me a wife and we fucked and it was great. And but these two very much of the now young women are like, that's... What? Really bad. He's like, yeah, but you know, it got me out of the war, so that was nice. They're like, okay. But essentially it's like, that's the thing that you're allowed to change. Basically, you ride the train to these moments and you can change the moments. Uh-huh. And they're like, right, okay. Nicole is like, well, I guess we're doing this. And Rosie's like, oh, you don't have to come with you. She's like, shut up, I'm traveling through time. Like, of course I have to come with you. Yep. You're not gonna travel through time on your own.
You can't do that shit alone.
And so we kind of begin our time caper part of this. And what I think it is that you get like a couple in a, like you would get like a couple in a row,
mm-hmm.
kind of montage-y.
Yeah.
So they're going backwards from the end of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the first scene that you see is they're like the argument that they have when they try to break up.
Yeah.
Or like when she's trying to break up with him.
Oh my God. It's like non-linear, just like 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
A movie that opens with the line, there are two types of people in the world, men and women.
Oh my God. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the opening line to that movie.
Oh no. That fucking film. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, there's elements of this that would speak to Eternal Sunshine, would speak to 500 Days of Summer, but also not in the sense that none of them are validating shitty male behavior.
Yay!
And we'd love instead to see it. Yeah, instead are like, how do you actually work through a thing?
Yeah, so we're time capering.
Yeah, we're capering through time. We're getting the Infinity Stones. But instead of Infinity Stones, it's... fucking
the songs by the 1975. Quasi emo songs
about fucking and whatever, yeah. Fucking and also American politics, which is basically all the 1975 songs about now.
Well, I mean, like, the American political system does suck, so they are songs about fucking and sucking.
Yes. They are. They're fucking and sucking songs. Matthew Healy, feel free to use that as a pull quote for your next album. New album.
Yep.
Yeah, so they go to, the breakup, and, like, I figure that, like, maybe he's wearing a T-shirt of said band or she's wearing a T-shirt of the 1975 and, like, they've been maybe listening to a song of theirs before the fight started.
What song is this?
I'm going to go ahead and say that it's Sex.
Okay.
Yeah, and, like, it's bad in, like, I figure kind of a generic toxic relationship kind of
breakup
way. Yeah. Yes. And like very much her, like, I need to, like, you know, kind of trying to do that thing of like, you say whatever you need to be able to get out of the situation. Like, no, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
When it's clearly him. You. And he's like, oh, but like, you can't leave me, blah 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 blah, like all of that kind of thing. But and it's kind of, it's bad, but in a way that like Rosie clearly never properly kind of got into with Nicole.
Right.
And so Nicole is like seeing, kind of witnessing all of this for the first time and is like, you never said that it was like this. She's like, yeah, no, well, like I told you he was really toxic. It's like, yeah, but you never said any of this stuff. Like,
right.
This is kind of bad. And she's like, yeah, but it's fine because we're going to change the song and it's going to be fine. She's like, okay. I'm now feeling like that's a weird priority. So it's that thing where it's like, well, we have to change the song to something. What do we change it to? And she's like, well, what's like just something really generic that's never gonna ever have any other kind of meaning to me?
Ed Sheeran's Galway Girl.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman.
That's a good one. The one that I was gonna have in this scene is that they change it to Wonderwall. And it's just the idea that they change all of them to Wonderwall. And then I was like, well, you wouldn't change all of them to Wonderwall. She's like, no, it's cool. I got a playlist of songs that are utterly meaningless. And there's like Ed Sheeran, Oasis, Rude by Magic. Just generic shit that she's never going to have a feeling about.
Mm.
And then she's like, cool, let's go to the next, like, thing, and it's like they've had a night out and he proposed to her and she hesitated because obviously she doesn't want to fucking marry this person.
Oh my god, it was a public proposal, wasn't it?
Oh god, yeah, and maybe not like a public, like a flash mob, but just like a, you know,
but like my friends out in front are here of the whole restaurant.
Yeah, and people are like, oh boy, it's getting again, and she's kind of like, oh, let's talk about it at home, because that's not what she wants, and not like, I feel like it's probably like not just with him,
yeah,
but just in general. And then on the way home, it was fucked, and like, let's say for this one that the song that was playing was "It's Not Living If It's Not With You." And again, Nicole sitting in the back of the car, like, there's a lot of stuff that you didn't tell me. I would have, you know.
Yeah, like, is it possible that Rosie's told her things, but she's passed them off as jokes when they were, like, deeply hurtful?
Yeah, it's possible that, like, and that it's, like, you know, in that way that there are certain things that, like, even if you soften them, they're still, like, okay, you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you, like that thing where, like, I'm trying to think of an example that's not too extreme, because this isn't like a, like, it's not like a if you leave me, I'll kill you kind of situation. It's more just like, you know, like it's like you can kind of soften the idea of like, oh, and then he was like, and all your friends are going to hate you because I'm going to tell them all that you're a slut or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and you can soften it to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's like, that's not okay to say to someone.
Yeah.
Or like, well, if something happens to me, it's your fault, like, you know, anything like that.
I was gonna say, like, in terms of songs for the vague threat of like, if you leave me, I'll kill myself, "It's Not Living If It's Not With You" is they're up there.
I feel like that's it's one of those things where I'm like, you let the song do the work of like what the under implication is. And then the third one that we get in this kind of little first section is like a super yikes sex scene. Not like, so like a consensual sex scene, but that just is yikes. That you're like, no.
No.
And I feel like that just, that like, much as Nicole's been like, this is super intense, like really, really quickly, that's the one that kind of for her is like, okay, I'm sorry. He doesn't even go down. He doesn't, this man doesn't even go down. What the fuck? What the fuck, Rosie? What the fuck? And she's like, I wouldn't have made that the focus. She's like, I mean, you made the focus that some of the songs that you like are no longer songs that you like.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is like, it's just, it's that thing where, like, you know, she goes on a fat rant about that. And then the kind of the moment that kind of distinguishes this is that as they're kind of watching this and like, whatever song is playing, what's one of their songs about fucking that's not?
I was going to say, like, surely you'd have sex on this scene.
I think no. I think, like, just in terms of, like, the 1975's oeuvre, sex is, like, one of their more recognisable songs. Maybe you have Girls playing.
Yeah, Girls. Goes along with Girls the video, also but has real yikes implications in the lyrics.
But she has a moment where she's like, huh, I feel like, I thought this, like, this other song was playing. I thought we were listening to, like, Undo or whatever. That's weird. But they change them all to to Wonderwall. And so then they're back on the train with Billy.
Yep.
And he's kind of getting them to the next stop. And they're like, so how'd you end up here? And he's like, well, I mean, basically I jumped around too much and now I can't slot back in. They're like, oh, you can jump through time too much? And he's like, yeah, I'm a cautionary tale. Like, what do you think? Why do you think they get me to drive the train? They could drive the train. They just want me to drive the train so that they're like, hey, don't fuck around with time too much.
Or you'll end up driving a train.
Yeah, or you'll end up driving a time train around. They're like, oh, are there like other people like you? He's like, I don't know. I mean, look at us. We're fucking millipedes. This is also, in each of these moments where they're on the train, I feel like they have to go back to looking like millipedes.
Okay.
And just, like, obviously you focus on the frontmost version of them at that moment in time.
But they're millipedes.
But it's like, okay, I guess we just have to ignore the fact that I can see every single moment of my past stretching out behind me in a weird way. And just kind of have this conversation with this man's. And so also during this kind of little reprieve, Nicole is like, are you sure that you only just like you just want to change the music stuff? Like, because it seems like some of this other stuff I would want to change if I had the opportunity. And the Trafalmadorians obviously are like, no, I'm sorry. No, that's not, we don't have paperwork for that, basically. It's like, you said you wanted to change these moments and that's what we've queued up.
Yeah.
the next kind of set of moments that they would see is like, we get the song Money for a discussion about like rent. I feel like there's like, I feel like one of the kind of the big things in like a long-term relationship like this often comes down to like financial abuse or manipulation. That's like, he probably makes her feel dependent on him.
Yeah.
When really like she's doing as much, if not more, of the paying for things. You know, just that thing where it's like, oh, you know, whose house do we live in? Who provides for you? Like, she's like, well, I mean, I kind of provide for myself. And then we would get like a moment where she's had to say, turn down a job offer because the boyfriend didn't want her to take. When I say the boyfriend, I mean Colin. We shall not speak his name.
The C word.
The C word. Like, I feel maybe they're like in the same field and she was getting like a better job that he kind of couldn't handle, or just in general was like, that job that you would get would be inconvenient for me because that's further away and I don't like that. And this is kind of the point at which I feel like this is kind of like the midpoint at which she would then, she being Rosie, kind of finally has an emotional reaction to visiting all of these memories again. Because there's certain, like, the thing about those kind of earlier, like, oh, these are the big, clearly bad, not good parts of the relationship that you can kind of look back at with a certain amount of distance.
Yeah. Whereas those like, sort of smaller everyday ones.
Yeah. 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 There's not like, this is like one of those moments that in the past you maybe could have fully gotten around being like, no, well, I think he was justified in saying that because of excuse, excuse, excuse. Whereas the other ones up to that point are the ones that she's like been through in therapy over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So this is the first kind of moment where she's like, wow, I'm really sad right now. And soundtrack is like Change of Heart or something. Again, it's that thing where she's starting to feel like the music that we're supposed to be playing in these moments is actually more mirroring
her emotional state.
Her emotional state right now
than what was actually necessarily happening.
Her emotional state then.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is odd. The next moment we get is that they're at a concert of the 1975 together, which is, you know, it's that thing where, like, you know, probably Nicole quips something like, oh, cool, free gig. Like, you know, we all like this band. Hey, wasn't I here at this? And she's like, Yeah, you were. And she's like, oh, so that's, are you going to change this one? It's like, well, yeah, because he was there and it's like, you know, a bad memory. She's like, but I was there.
So
and
now
like,
it's that's an Oasis concert.
Yeah, there's kind of the first problem of like, well, what do we change this to? Like, how do we, how do I fix this? But also at this point, there's kind of a moment where she's like, I don't think this song had actually come out at this point. The song that's playing is like Petrichor or like kind of one of their more numbers. She's like, I don't really think this song had come out at that point. At which point I feel like the band are like, oh, we want to, you know, we want to dedicate this next song to Rosie, who's going through a tough time. And she's like, hold on, what the hell? Because that didn't happen in real life.
Did not.
She's like, what is going on?
What is going on, Charlie?
That's a great question. We're going to find out.
Okay.
But so we've kind of got this tension with Nicole about like, wait, but I was kind of here for this as well. And then we've got this thing of like, hold on. Now that I'm looking at it properly, a lot of the music and the memory doesn't really match up. This is more about how I'm feeling now than it is about how I was feeling then.
Yeah.
And so they get back into the train and they're like, hold on, bring out the green hand aliens again. And V and Anoni are kind of like, yes.
Yes.
You have a problem. She's like, yeah, none of this is actually like,
this ain't real, bitch.
None of this is. And it's like, well, yes, but I mean, it is memory and memory can be subjective. And she's like, yeah, but like, I know which songs we're playing. And it's like, basically, I feel like you kind of have to, like, it's one of those things where you have to do it without, like, saying it out loud in the film.
Yeah.
You gotta do a show, not a tell. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, they're like, you know, these are your memories. We're just, like, presenting back to you what you said that you wanted, what you said that you needed to see.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, where are we going next? And it's her, it's like a recent, like, I guess the birthday party before they broke up.
Yeah.
And, of course, when they step into the birthday party, the song Birthday Party is playing. And she's like, well, that's, I mean, It's like you're basically providing me with a soundtrack to a film. Yuck, yuck, yuck. But Nicole has been, like, quite reluctant about the birthday, but she's like, oh, we don't need to, like, and kind of it's tinged with that tension of, like, but we were all at that and that was a good party and stuff.
Yeah.
But also seemingly is tinged with, like, something else. She's like, oh, we don't need to, you know, yeah. Like, why do you need to change that one? It's like, oh, he wasn't even there. Which we learn is the problem, that he, like, forgot her birthday or, like, made other, like was like, Earth game night, babe.
I'm going to just go play Fortnite with my bros.
Yeah, and it's, it, well, because I imagine that was like, her 25th. Yeah. And she's like, it's my quarter life.
And then Nicole's just like, that's optimistic, honey.
Yeah. Midlife, let's be real. Yeah, and so she's like, wow, this actually, like, this was such a sad time.
Yeah.
This was, like, a really sad time. She's like, yeah, it was, it, like, no, sorry, when I say she, Rosie has been saying, like, oh, wow, this was so sad. Nicole is like, yeah, I mean, it was really kind of weird. We all had to, like, pretend that he hadn't, like, we all had to, like, pretend that this wasn't, that everything was fine.
Mm.
It was kind of weird. And then at some point during this kind of section, she comes into, like, she comes into the kitchen, say, where, like, the past Nicole and, like, two of her other friends are kind of talking quietly.
And this was something that Rosie didn't witness at the time.
Yeah, because it's some kind of weird mix of actual literal time travel and memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's the case that if Nicole hadn't been on this trip with her, she never would have seen this moment. But yeah. So she comes up and like, hears them kind of being like, it's really kind of pathetic that she keeps letting him do this. It's like, you know, we just have to, like, what, he forgot her birthday again? Like,
yeah.
Just dump him, you know? Like, I don't understand what's wrong with her. That kind of, like, that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that it's like, that's a bad conversation to have witnessed your friend having.
Yeah.
But also it's a conversation that you can imagine having about a
yeah.
friend with a shitty boyfriend. But it's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, it is.
And, like, often it's a conversation that is hard to have before the person is ready to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, if your friend's been, like, crying every day of a week about shitty things that her boyfriend's been saying, she still maybe is not at the point where you're like, hey, this guy, I think this guy's, like, being really cruel to you,
mm-hmm.
and I think you should break up with him, because you kind of can't see that until, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, it's really hard. It's hard. People can tell you over and over and over again, hey, I think you are being abused, and you're like, nah, but it's fine, because I love this person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that's how... That's part of it.
Mm.
So Rosie is mad.
Yeah.
And Nicole is like, no, you just don't turn this into a thing. Like, obviously I'm on your side. And, like, you know, you hadn't told us everything at that point about, like, all the shitty things that he was doing. Like, this is before we kind of knew. And she's like, oh, but, you know, like,
but clearly you were talking about, you knew some of it, because that's what yeah, you're talking you knew some about of it, behind you were, my back, bitch.
And you were talking about me behind my back. Also, in this one, I feel like maybe the band shows up. They're just, like, in the corner. Like, it, like the music is being played by the band in the corner. And it's like, that's weird. We're not going to... Like, it's just kind of like they start accepting
yeah.
this very weird, surreal kind of version of their memories
mm-hmm.
as it keeps happening. So, yeah, so they have an argument about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like Rosie is like, can you just, like, go, just, like, just go, like, wait on the train.
Yeah.
Just, I need to not look at you right now.
Go be a stranger on a train.
Yeah, go be a stranger on a train. When a stranger calls on a train. The next scene is, like, another just kind of generically, like, they're making out or doing a fuck or something.
Mm.
Or just, like, kind of hanging out, chatting, being, like, relationship-y. And he's obviously still shitty, but it's, like, a nicer moment.
This is one of those moments where it's like, oh, that's why the relationship did last. Because there
yeah.
were
yeah.
these good moments.
Yeah, there were these, like, nice moments of reprieve where clearly he said, like, a couple nice things. And she's like, Oh, it's all been worth it. And she's watching herself. And it is that thing where, like, having just heard that conversation that her friends were having about her in the past and then watching this back, she has that thing of, like, I really do feel kind of pathetic. Like, they were in the wrong for having that conversation, but I do kind of
yeah.
feel pathetic looking at this. And, like, you know, she's there, she's listening to the conversation they're having, and then who should show up next to her but Maddie Healy and or the singer of the fictional band. Could just get the 1975 to be the fictional band.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where you're going.
Call them the 1759. we are the 1759, and we come from a time before electricity. Here's a song about a ship, but so you know, the singer Matthew Healy kind of points out. He's like, I think your boyfriend's a fake fan. She's like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't think he's a real fan of us. She's like, is that really your take? Is that really your takeaway from this right now? It's like, no, but seriously, like, think about this. Like, how many times did he actually put a music on? And she's like, oh, yeah, there were, like, all the, like, at the beginning, like, she, like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, what was his favorite song of ours? And she's like, it was Chocolate. And he's like, yeah, that's what a fake fan would say. Spoken exactly like a fake fucking fan. I bet his favorite song on our third album was Two Time. And kind of like she puts all of that together and realizes, and it's like not a really big realization, but for her, given the journey that she's on, and given that she is unlike all the people on this clean feed call, someone who puts like a lot of emotional investment into the music that she likes. Obviously that doesn't sound like anyone.
No one on this podcast would be someone who puts a lot of emotional energy into music and, you know, extrapolates entire film plots out of it. No.
No, not at all. Not at all. So it's a big moment for her that's a comparatively small moment in all of the realizations. It's like, oh my God, I'm the reason that this music is in all of these memories is me. Like, I'm always the one who put it on. Like,
maybe
fuck.
I'm the problem.
Oh, it was me. But what? Yeah, and he's like, well, no, I mean, that's good. It's good that you were listening to our music. And by the way, like, are you going to just, like, never have listened to our band again at the end of this? And she's like, no, well, because I listened to you without him. And he's like, yeah, but you're taking away all these, like, you know, he kind of points out, like, oh, isn't the reason why this or that memory about, you know, getting matching tattoos, like, isn't the reason why that memory is meaningful kind of because a song that you liked was associated with it? Like, isn't the reason that the song is meaningful kind of because it meant a good thing to you at the time? She's like, yeah, but now it's a sad thing. And he's like, yeah, but that's still meaningful. And she's like, shut up. You're
a figment of my imagination.
Yeah. You're not real.
You're not special.
What are the green hand eye aliens just bring the band to everyone fucking riding through the time train to like change their memories of? He's like, well, I do get this gig a lot. I feel like a lot of people have shitty boyfriends who listen to my band. It's the band that you listen to if you have a shitty boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a band made up entirely of like soft, shitty boyfriends. Anyway, so she's alone for this next one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another like live show. Obviously this time she's fully aware that the band knows that she's there.
Yeah.
And this time they play, so famously the 1975 have never ever played live the song Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's every like diehard 1975 fans, every like the biggest request is like play Antichrist live, play Antichrist live.
And they're like, no.
And so she's like, wow, this is an entirely unique experience that I'm having right in this moment. And in this scene, we actually just see her like having a good time on her own. Like she's like, I'm not gonna pay attention to past me and past Colin. Just like has a nice night. She goes and hangs out with the band afterwards. And like as she's kind of leaving this memory to get back on the train, she's like, oh, I'm not gonna change this one. Cause that was nice.
Yeah.
And the Tralfamadorians are like, but you have to. She's like, but I just had like a cool time. And it's like, yeah, but you have to change it. She's like, oh no. You know, you said that you wanted to change basically the soundtrack to this relationship, but you don't want to change it. And she's like, yeah, but it like obviously, you know, it wasn't all bad. And it's like the whole like the entirety of my relationship with this person wasn't all bad. Like obviously it started out in a great place. And they're like, okay, look, we never really intervene like this because, you know, again, we're fatalists, but girl. And again, keeping in mind, this is Justin, Vivian, Bond and Anoni, who would fully, at this point, I imagine, break the kind of sing-songy, like, poetic thing and just be like, girl, no, this man is bad. And they're like, okay, look, again, we never do this, but you need to understand what this is for. And she's like, what are you talking about? And so they take her to a moment. She's like sitting in a cafe alone. And she's like, I don't know what this is. Like, when was this? And they're like, it wasn't anywhere. And kind of she realizes that what she's seeing is a potential future thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Colin comes in and sits down. And she's seeing it kind of from afar. Like, you maybe can't understand what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But she kind of watches them talk. And she's like, what am I doing? Like, why am I, do I end up meeting up with him? And they're like, just watch. and like future Rosie starts crying and she's like, oh God, what is he saying? And they're like, we can't, basically like, we can't tell you anything other than that this is something that could happen. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, can I change it? And they're like, I mean, again, we never do this, but like, there's a choice that you have to make coming up that will directly influence this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, like you guys are being really vague. Can you bring back Maddie? And he's like, hello. You called. And she's like, what do you think I should do? Because also at this point, like, remember, she told Nicole to get back on the train.
Yeah.
And so she's like, damn, I wish I hadn't told Nicole to, like...
get on the train.
And so also the song that's playing in the background, it's fully soundtrack now, not really part of the diegesis of the scene that she's watching, is Me, which is a song that... It's a sad times 1975 song. She kind of was like, why do you think this song is playing? Like, this song is about your dad. And like, this isn't about my relationship with my father or anything. And he's like, no, this is me singing to me. This is like a song about me singing to like myself when I was younger. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, that's like, it's like, but you talk about like, you know, like hurting your mother and like hurting your brother and like killing your family. And he's like, yeah, like it's me talking about feeling like I did those things. Like, there's a line in the song that's like, I think I did something terrible to your body. Don't you mind? Mm. And This is all based on like actual kind of lyrical discussion of the 1975, and I'm telling on myself in a huge way again. Mm. He's like, yeah, I did that to myself. Like, that's me now looking at me then and being like, I'm sorry that I fucked this up a little bit. And she's sort of now kind of realizing like, oh, I get why I'm here. And it's not really to like fix any of this stuff about my past. It's to show me the way to go from here on out. Again, this is all kind of unspoken, show don't tell, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, take me back to the train. I just, you know, take me, like, let's finish doing this. Because again, it's that thing where the Trafalmadorians are like, literally, with the rules are that we have to take you through all of these memories and you have to change the songs.
Yeah.
You started it, and like, now you have to. And she's like, really? I can't like undo any of it? And they're like, no, haven't you been listening to, you want to end up a train conductor in the trains? You want to be driving one of these trains for the rest of your life? And she's like, no, I do not. So she gets back onto the train and Nicole is there and she's like, hey, look, I'm sorry. I overreacted a little bit. And Nicole's like, look, okay, before you do anything else, can I show you something? She's like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, well, I, you know, the train works for me too, bitch. Like, and basically you get like a, oh, actually, so there, I feel like there's two, actually, you can help me out with this. I feel like there's two ways that this could go. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a version of this where then Nicole is like, I want to show you something, and takes her through like several different nice times that she's had with her friends where, again, the 1975's music was playing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just moments that have nothing to do with this guy, just like nice memories. She's like, what about this? What about this? What about this? Why isn't this your association? Why is he your association? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of tinged with a little bit of a, like, does my friendship not mean as much to you as this relationship did?
Yeah.
Which she's kind of has to be like, I mean, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because obviously that was the biggest relationship of my life at that moment. Mm-hmm. But it's also like a, why don't you just remember these times? And so, like, theoretically you can do that kind of a nice, like, the final moment that they spend in the time train is, like, a trip through, like, some nice memories that she had. Or alternately, what Nicole takes her to is like basically sets the scene of the first time that they ever met each other. Mm. But Nicole has, in the time that she spent, you know, our two hand eye alien friends were distracted with Rosie stuff. So Nicole went to the first moment that they met and is like, look what I've done. And basically, like, you've kind of got like, say, like a paused scene of them about to meet. But what she's done is like she's just changed a couple things so that they would literally have been walking on different paths. And she's like, see? Rosie's like, what? And she's like, why don't you just do this so you never met? And then she has to then, like... So, like, now that I've said them out loud, I feel like the first one is less backing me into a corner, narratively.
Yeah, I, like, can I suggest sort of an in-between thing?
Yeah.
So, like, this would be some rejigging, but kind of implied that, like, Rosie and Nicole have been friends since, like, early teens.
Yeah.
And have, like... young them first listening to the 1975.
Yeah, so do you remember back when we used to love One Direction and Harry Styles tweeted the lyrics to Chocolate? Do you remember that? Because, again, telling on myself, that's sort of how I discovered the 1975 properly all the way back in 2013. But yeah, for a lot of people, they first discovered, you know, the 1975 in some capacity because Harry Styles was like, I like this song called Chocolate.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah, and that maybe that it, like...
Actually, that would be really cute because you could have, like, an absurdly over-the-top moment where it seems like they're going to go back to this time when they'd first listened to the 1975, but instead it's them listening to That's What Makes You Beautiful.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe then you get into, like, there's a moment of, like, oh, shit, maybe we fucked it because the Trafalmadorians are like, so you want to change the music of this moment as well? And they're like, wait, no? And they're like, okay, well, clearly you don't understand how this works. Like, we told you there was one rule. You go to a memory, you change the song. Mm-hmm. And basically, I want the end of this kind of ending moment to, like, and this isn't the end. There's, like, one more scene.
Yeah.
That this kind of the last moment with the aliens to kind of come down to, like, she then has a choice.
Yeah.
To, like...
Is it a choice to change everything? Like, the choice of whether or not those changes she's made are set?
Yeah, it's basically, yeah.
So,
like...
So it's almost like they could explain it. It's like, at the moment, like, you're basically in a Word document that you haven't saved yet. And when you hit save, all of those changes will have happened. But, like, you need to make the changes first. And then it's that point of, like, you have to change everything or nothing. There's no in between.
And Billy's like, what's a Word document? I left the bounds of earthly time and space before computers. I don't understand. At which point the Trafalmadorians presumably have to translate into, like, the way that they would describe it. And he's like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, like, for all that we've seen her learn through this,
yeah,
I think she has to make the bad choice.
Okay, yeah.
I think she has to choose to, like, she's like, no, we can change all the things. Yeah. Obviously, they didn't change the thing where they never met, because the Trafalmadorians were like, yeah, we'll strike that one from our record, because that was clearly dumb. But, yeah, basically, like...
Yeah, so she makes the bad choice.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I don't want it to hurt when I listen to this music anymore. Yep. I don't want to have to cry when I listen to a song that used to be my favorite song.
Yeah.
And Nicole's like, well, okay, I mean, I've made my argument to you, so I guess if that's what you want to do, then we're doing it. And then sort of we come through that. The train starts, like, speeding. Like, they're back on the train and it's, like, speeding off into the light at the end of the tunnel. And they're like, are we going to die? And they kind of return to basically where they were right before they got up into the train.
Yeah.
They got slurped into the train. And they're like, whoa. And, like, it's that thing where they're kind of, like, those moments like that in films, you almost want to be like, is that real? But, like, for both of them, they're like, did that really happen? Of course it did really happen. We both have the exact same memory of the thing happening. Like, you can't have an exactly shared
hallucination.
And also neither of us have any prior history of psychosis. So obviously that just happened.
Yeah.
Yep, you know, this isn't a magical realism sci-fi movie, Rosie. That happened. And so we kind of see, like, just some snippets of her, like, kind of back in her everyday. And it seems like she's almost, like, because you know how there are some, like, time travel narratives where it's that, like, the closed loop thing where the time travel is always, like, the Harry Potter version of it where, like, you know, Hermione was the werewolf kind of thing. Yeah. Or there's the Back to the Future approach, which is where, like, you know, Marty does a thing and it's like, oh no, the photo of me is fading. And it's like, or there's, I can't remember what I've seen that isn't fucking Avengers Endgame that did this, but the idea that, like this thing with the train, it, like, you go back through and you can change a bunch of stuff.
And then that it only kind of... You were already there and you changed it, yeah.
Well, but it only then kind of, like, takes effect, quote unquote, when you return to where you started.
Right.
Like, the implication is that sort of, like, in those immediate moments after they get back, that maybe the memory of having done that kind of leaves her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or that she's at least just, like, not really thinking about it. But what she realizes then is over these, like, these kind of little snippets that we see is that obviously, you know, the music of her favorite band no longer makes her feel sad, but she's kind of realizing, she's like, this doesn't really make me feel anything. Like, why is this song on it? Like, I just realized that this song is on every single playlist that I have, including my automatic music to cry to playlist. And it's like, well, I don't feel like crying when I listen to this song. What's going on? And, like, it's not until she kind of, like, I feel like there's a moment where she remembers that other version. And so she's kind of in this weird, trippy position of being, of having, like, two different memories of a series of events.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you convey that, because, yeah, it's that thing where it's like, that's a hard thing to get across at the very end of a film. But I feel like what it is that she has to do is that she, like, ends up having to kind of choose to live with both versions of the past. In that way where, you know, if you have been in a shitty or toxic or abusive relationship, there's a part of you that kind of will, like, you'll kind of, like, make up a narrative about, like, a version of that relationship where you did stand up for yourself or you did do things differently. In the same way that we all, you know, in the shower, like, replay arguments, but instead we're really witty and, like, fuck you!
Spree did a scare.
Yeah. It's kind of that thing where you hold in your head two different versions of how that could have happened, how you wish it would have happened, and how, like,
how it did.
You would hope in the future that you would deal with situations like that, and the thing that you can't forget, which is how it actually happened. And so she realizes she kind of has to live with both of these kind of shifting realities, and that's
okay.
Honestly, like, for the best.
Yeah.
And so the last thing that we see that she does is that she looks at the text from Colin again, and she just texts him, like, you know, fuck off and die or whatever. No, it's not fuck off and die, obviously, but she's just like,
no.
Yeah, just like, no, please don't, you know, contact me ever again. Like, have a nice life. Like,
yeah, no blocks contact.
Yeah. If I could have thought of a reference to a lyric, I would have made one.
But he's a fake fan anyway.
So. But yeah, he's a fake fan, so he wouldn't have got it. Well, yeah, but then maybe you have him text back being like, I don't get that reference. And then the last thing that we get, and maybe it's like the credit sequence as well, is like she and Nicole and like maybe some of their other friends just like at a house party and a 1975 song is playing. I'm going to go ahead and say that it's If You're Too Shy, Let Me Know, just because that's my current huge vibe. Uh-huh. And it's just them like having a really fucking aggressively good time. And it's you kind of understand that that's the process of her committing new good memories to this music.
Yeah.
As the credits are playing.
Yeah, that's cute.
And yeah.
Yeah.
She unruins the 1975.
Yeah, I really like it. It is Slaughterhouse 5 fan fiction, but in a good way.
Yeah, but, you know, everything's fan fiction these days.
Yeah, no, I really like it. It's a good sort of exploration of, and so often those kind of time travel, what would happen, are very male-centric, so.
Yeah, very male-centric and very, like,
very self-excusatory, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, using, and not to, you know, not to put anyone on blast who we've regularly invited to fight us on the podcast and currently has a movie about time travel in the fucking cinemas, but very much, like, if I spend all this time, like, talking to you about the mechanics of this, you'll forget that this has no fucking emotional center or characters or meaning or anything. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Chris Nolan.
Where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me at Giles O'Shady on Twitter, where I go after TERFs. Where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me on Twitter at Tansy Clipboard, where I go after TERFs, but less regularly.
Yeah. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at PitchShiftPod. We're also on Facebook. You can email us, pitchshiftpodcast@gmail.com. If you're going to time travel, bring a trusted friend, and you don't owe anything to toxic people.
Mm.
You don't owe it to them to meet up with them to chat later.
Mm-hmm.
Live your best life.
Look after yourself.
Yeah. Be safe. We love yous.
You were with the 1975. Now I listen and think about getting high. In your bedroom, windows open. Mom is home, but we're still smoking. You were with the 1975. Now I listen and cry. Cause you sang we share friends in Soho. While you told me that none of your friends know. And I hated you for that. But it's been 2 years now. And I really just hate you. For making me hate my favorite band.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.